Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope, all of us here in the room. Those of you joining us online, hi. We're glad that you're with us, too. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. What we mean when we say that is that we hope that you are aware, you and me, that we're all aware of God's presence with us. Because God meets us right here in the world we live in. He doesn't meet us in some imaginary world where everything's great, right? He doesn't meet us in some fantasy land that we don't live in. He meets us right here where we live with all the good stuff and the bad stuff going on. So I would love it if we could bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. Thank you, God, for this chance to gather together to worship you, to sing to you and to pray to you, to listen for your spirit speaking through the scriptures, to gather around your table. God, please, we want everything that happens during this hour to help us to connect with you. We believe, God, that you're there, that you made us, and that you love us. I mean, you've shown us this in your son, Jesus. And so would you please help us to connect with you, to listen for what you want to say to us, to be open to what you want to do in us, and to be ready for whatever conversation you're wanting to pull us into this morning. Thank you, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin.
All right, I think a couple people should know this song. This one is probably new for quite a few of you, unless you're listen to like that station on YouTube Music that's like the top Christian songs, or if you listen to the radio or K-Love. Yeah, there you go. I don't have a radio in my car, believe it or not, so I have to do YouTube.
Can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. I have a King with dominion over death. He holds the keys in his holy God hands. He is the heel that has crushed the serpent's head. Our resurrected great I am. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. Chains break, dry bones wake every time I call your name. The gates of hell shake every time I call your name. Chains break, dry bones wake every time I call your name. The gates of hell shake every time I call your name. Every time I call your name. Is thou your sting, and where, O grave, your victory, and where, O death, is now your sting, and where, O grave, your alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. Chains break, dry bones wake every time You Savior, worthy of glory forever, something comes out of the grave every time I call your name.
All right. Amen. 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 Amen.
Struck down, got me knocked down by the hands of the enemy. Those lies had me held down till I found out that it's not my identity. I found my life when I laid it down. And all my hope is in you now, my faith is in you, Jesus. I'm learning to let go, let God show me how to be me. I'm learning to let go. Cause I come to the enemy. I'm learning that in your love there is freedom, even for a wretch like me. I found my life when I laid it down. And all my hope is in you now. My faith is in you, Jesus. I'm learning to let go. So long, so long. I've been hurting, I've been burdened. Too long, too long. Fear is falling, chains are breaking. So long, so long. Let go, let God. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Let go and let God. I'm learning to let go, let God. Show me how to be. Let go, let God. Show me how to be free. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. My daily bread and my daily delight. I'm learning to let go, let God. So I can be the real me. Let go, let God. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Let go and let God, let go, let God, so I can be the real me.
Amen, amen. I invite you to pray with me, if you will. Father, we are so thankful for the transformation that we have experienced because of the new life that you've given us. I thank you for the chains that have been broken in our lives, the patterns, the behaviors, the sin, the bondage, Lord, that we are free from because of you. Jesus, because of your sacrificial love and your giving of yourself, your death and resurrection, Lord, because of you, We are free today and every day. Lord, we can never thank you enough. And this week is a week where thankfulness and gratitude we're more mindful of. Lord, we thank you. We will continue to thank you. Until our dying breath, Lord, all we can do is offer up our offerings of gratitude and praise and thanks for everything you've done. Even in the midst of hard things, Lord, and terrible things and difficult things and yucky things and ugly things, you still are good. You still are breaking chains. You still are guiding and leading and protecting and carrying us, Lord, through all of that. And we can never, ever express to you what you deserve, the honor and the glory that belong to you. This morning, we're going to try. And so, Father, we give this service to you. I thank you for each person that's here, that is in this building, that will be in this building later, that will join us online, Lord. For each and every one, we are so very thankful. For the families they represent, for the family they are to each other here through Living Hope. Lord, you have been so good to us. Regardless of our circumstances, you have been so good. And we say thank you. Be with Pastor Rich this morning and with Missy as they present to us the word that you have given them for this morning, for the story that they will share, for the word that comes from the scriptures, Lord. May we really hear it this morning. Take it to heart. Learn from it. And may it transform us as we leave this place later. That we walk out of here changed. We walk out of here different because we have been in your presence. Again, we thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take you a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right, just a real quick hi to all of you watching online while people are finishing conversations, finding their seats, all that. Since we didn't get to shake your hand just now, drop us a note in the comments. Let us know you're with us so we know you're worshiping with us. And if there's something that you'd like to communicate more privately, any of us could do this. You can go online to livinghope.info/connect. You could go there and find a little digital connect card where you can share with us how we can pray for you or thank God with you or answer a question, anything like that. And all of us in the room, you can do the same thing with one of those little green cards back there. Just fill it out and drop it in the offering box, and we can follow up with you. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there as well, or you can give online. You can also give to the Habitat house that's being built right now in Portage. If you'd like to help build that house this year, we've been doing that for the last few years. So if you'd like to help, you can either give to the Habitat Fund online or write it on your envelope, or you can go to portercountyhabitat.org. And if you're wanting to volunteer, that's the place to go as well to let them know you'd like to help. And then hopefully on your way in, you saw a stack of these Advent books out there. We've got just enough for everybody to take one, I think. And so grab one of those because Advent starts next Sunday. And so that devotional book starts next Sunday. And if you're not going to be here next Sunday for some reason, you don't want to fall behind a week. So go ahead and grab it today and take it with you. And next Sunday, we can start reading together as we make our way toward Christmas Eve and Christmas and all that good stuff. I should tell you, too, that because of Thanksgiving, this Wednesday night's a little different. The adult group, the Bible discussion group, is not going to happen, but the teens are definitely meeting. They wanted to get together. They're going to do some kind of little Thanksgiving thing, but the grown-ups had other places to be. So if you're wanting to come on a Wednesday night to see what that's about, this is not a good Wednesday to come if you're over high school age or so. Before we dive into this morning's message, we actually have a little one other announcement. John, you want to come up and... All right. It's a little more creative than mine, so just so you know.
This is what Daybreak is all about. We provide 49 beds, daily meals, and programs that take an individual from crisis to stability. But none of it happens without volunteers. We need people to help cook, clean, serve, and simply show up. Every act of service builds trust, dignity, and most importantly, hope. So today, I invite you to join us in being the difference. Sign up, take a shift, lend a hand. And together, we can make sure that no one in Valparaiso goes through another winter alone.
Thanks, John. Thank you guys for creatively letting us know what's going on with Daybreak, giving us a little picture of what that might be like. Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's just a, like a tiny little glimpse into what that might be like. We are very thankful to have been involved with Daybreak from the beginning. And so if any of you would like to volunteer there, they could definitely use your help. John is the director there. He wasn't just playing a part. So if you have questions for him afterwards, feel free to ask him. He's going to be sticking around in between the services and into the next service, and it'll be a good thing. He'd love to answer your questions. Before we dive into this morning's message, could we bow our heads again for just a moment? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the ways that you are at work in our community, in our world, in our lives, in our hearts. And we pray that today, as we hear your word, as we hear testimony of how you've been at work in our lives, God, we pray that you'd help our hearts to be open to hear from you. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on the as we were moving into the season, when it's interesting, when we started this little series this month, there were still leaves on trees. We hadn't had any snow. It almost kind of felt like summer wasn't willing to give up. Now it definitely feels like, you know, winter is almost here. We've already been through a big snowstorm and all the rest. The days we've changed our time. The days feel so much shorter. This is why we decided we want to talk about mental health during this month. Because, man, now's the time when you start to feel it. And I've been talking with people just this last week again about how the holidays can be so hard. When you've lost loved ones, when life is not like what you see on TV or on the cards, the greeting cards, all of that, man, it can make Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of this really, really difficult. And today, we got kind of two parts to this morning's message. My part is going to be quite a bit shorter than usual, I think. We'll see, because Missy's going to share some of her story in just a little bit. And so I want to leave her as much room as possible. But I went ahead and gave you some things in your notes that if I don't talk about all of it, that's okay. You've got it there. It's just talking about some healthy practices, some things that are good for us mentally, our mental health. That are just core, essential Christian practices, things that happen that all Christians do, right? If you're following Jesus, then confession is a part of your life. It's how we start this journey, by just agreeing with God, confessing, you're right, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I've messed things up. We confess our sins, and we receive his forgiveness. I'm just going to read this one verse, 1 John, from 1 John chapter 1, Verses 8 and 9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We'd like to live in the truth. We don't want to pretend, all right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we Christians believe that we don't want to repeat the pattern that so often gets repeated in human history, all the way back to the beginning where Adam and Eve mess up and they hide from God. Instead, we want to, as we talked about last week, we want to confidently come to God to receive mercy and grace to help us, to receive his forgiveness. We want to be truthful, honest about our failings, about our life, the things that we've done, the things that have been done to us, the cards we've been dealt, the hand we've tried to play in life. We want to be honest about where we've done well, where we've not done well, honest about the ways God has been at work and faithful, and give him credit for all of that. This is confession is the beginning. Being truthful is the beginning of the Christian life. And we don't just confess to God. We're honest with each other, too. That's what James chapter 5 says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's something we do together, which is why community is also a part of the Christian life, with carrying each other's burdens. And if truth is important, then we're going to look to Scripture to get the truth of God's word into us, and gratitude as we move toward Thanksgiving. So I just want to give those to you. And maybe I'll come back and I'll touch on one or two of them. But Missy, if you were ready to come on up and share your story with us, as we were talking about this idea of giving a month to talking about mental health, you guys heard from Romeo a couple of weeks ago. He was eager to share some of his story, and Missy likewise was like, "Well, man, I got enough stories that I could just, you know, tell stories all 4 weeks and just fill the time." But instead, she's going to try to just share some today. Do you want going to hold this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I like to spread out, take a lot of space. Okay. So I am so nervous, and I don't know why. If I were singing this, that'd be fine. And I tend to talk really fast, so I'm going to try and breathe and not talk as fast. But anyway, as many of you know, I'm Missy. Here's some more fun facts about me. I am 45 years old. I am a woman. I am a wife. I am a mom. I am a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm an aunt. I'm a vegetarian for a long time. I'm a recovery care coordinator, and I'm a worship leader. And I'm a child of God. I struggled with mental health challenges for most of my life. I struggled with suicide attempts, with self-harm, burning and cutting and things like that, inpatient hospitalizations. I struggled with gender confusion and homosexuality. I struggled with atheism. I struggled with substance use disorder. I am a child of God. I am diagnosed with major depressive disorder, social anxiety disorder, bipolar 2, ADHD, and maybe a little bit of the TISM, autistic, but the tests are like still out on that, so we'll see. I also am diagnosed with chronic severe iron deficient anemia, edema of both my legs from vein problems, leukopenia, which is low white blood cells, elevated liver enzymes in my blood, bilateral carpal tunnel, which really stinks if you play guitar, B12 deficiency, chronic fatigue and daytime hypersomnolence, which means I'm a night owl, seasonal allergies, and I was previously morbidly obese and weighing close to 400 pounds. Some of these things require different types of interventions. Some things I can address at home with over-the-counter remedies. Some are helped but not erased by changing certain behaviors. For example, if I put my legs up often enough, I can combat the edema in my legs. It doesn't go away, but it's better. Some of them, though, require very special interventions. For my anemia, I can't take pills or liquids or any form of iron and have my body accept it. I have to get iron infusions in the hospital 2 to 4 times a year, but it's still a temporary solution. For carpal tunnel, I have many different creams and braces that I use depending on the severity and whether I believe it works or not. Some of these things were resolved through very extreme means, like my former obesity. I had a gastric bypass 9 years ago and lost 260 pounds. But sometimes the cure can set off a chain reaction of side effects, like the malabsorption problem, which causes the iron, B12, and white blood cell deficiencies. The cure can also be life-changing, like my weight loss that prevented me from developing diabetes, heart disease, mobility issues, and other ailments that can develop as a part of being extremely overweight. Treating mental illness can sort of be like that. Originally, I tried to hide my mental health issues, my desire to no longer exist. My family had much bigger issues at the time, and I just retreated into myself, and most people thought that I was very shy and introverted, which I probably was, but I had extreme relationship issues with friends, parents, siblings, basically everyone. I believe that nobody wanted me around, and if they did, it was just because they pitied me. At 20, I developed and attempted my first serious plan to end my life. It failed, thankfully, obviously. I spent the week in St. Anthony's Hospital in the mental health ward. I had my first interaction with a psychiatrist and a therapist, and it felt like I had found the missing piece of the puzzle. I started taking several medications for my many diagnoses and started to see the world more clearly. I was still an atheist, though, during this time, and I didn't realize that God was using these people to heal me because he was the missing piece of the puzzle in my life. I had purposely and openly rejected anything to do with God since seventh grade. And as I started to feel better mentally, I started to have thoughts that I didn't need to take my medication anymore, that I was better. And as the thoughts persisted, I believed, yeah, I didn't need therapy either. I don't need this medication. I'm cured. That was the devil using his schemes to destroy me. And actually, he's been doing it since the very beginning. Back in the garden, in Genesis 3, verse 3:1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Yeah, so he's been doing that for a very long time. In John 10:10, it says that the thief, the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus came that we would have life and have it abundantly. But I didn't acknowledge the devil or Jesus at this time. I was in charge of my life, and I quit taking my medication and quickly desired to end my life again, but lacked a plan. So I started to self-harm to cope with it. Cutting, burning, punching, anything that would give me a temporary distraction from the emotional pain I was feeling. I lacked purpose because I lacked acknowledging Jesus as the Lord of my life. Eventually, I thought that promiscuity would heal my emotional woes, because if I gave myself away physically, surely I would be loved and want to live, right? It didn't turn out that way. I did end up pregnant with my daughter Lilith, but it was a high-risk pregnancy, and she was born early, and she was in the neonatal intensive care unit for 2 weeks. When she came home, she was still tiny, but she was perfect. And certainly, now I would be cured. About 2 years later, I developed a very serious substance use disorder. I had a very high income at the time to support my growing habit. If I couldn't kick my desire to die, maybe I could help facilitate it by doing as many drugs as I could acquire. Still, God had a purpose for me, even in the deepest, darkest trap house. He was calling me to live even when I didn't want to. I became pregnant with my son, Lucas, who was on the drums earlier, if you didn't know, and he's over there. And I stopped using crack cocaine and heroin in less than a week after I found out I was expecting. This was only through the grace of God, because he was carrying me even when I could not and would not see him. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." It doesn't say that if I acknowledge the Lord, then he will be near and save me. He was already there. He was working for my good long before I knew the plans that he had for me. It was during this pregnancy that I returned to therapy, to my psychiatrist, and back to medication. Once again, my symptoms alleviated. It's wild how that keeps happening. I wanted to live. I felt better. Then the thoughts crept back in. I didn't need that medicine, did I? I'm working so hard and doing so well, and I gave all of the credit to myself. It wasn't until I had developed alcohol use disorder and was sending my children to spend Saturday nights with my mom and go to church on Sunday mornings. This meant I could drink all night on Saturday and then nurse my hangover on Sunday morning. It sounded like a great idea. Eventually, I surrendered this type of slow suicide and accepted my mom's invitation to church and eventually Christ's invitation to live a life for God. I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, went down into the water of baptism, just like Laura did last week if you were here or saw it. And a few years later, I did the same for Lily and Lucas. But I was still inconsistent with the cures for my mental illness that God had prepared for me. He was providing me with the means to be mentally well through people and medication, and I was willfully rejecting it and surrendering instead to the chaos, instead of surrendering to him and his will for my life. I couldn't understand why my life wasn't like what I thought were these perfect Christians around me. Like, I accepted Jesus as my Lord. Like, okay, you know, fast forward, all better. No, it didn't work that way. And so I was ashamed, and I isolated myself and my children as much as I could. When I started serving on the worship team, my heart changed. I had discovered God's purpose not only for my life, but for my family's life. I returned to medication and therapy, and eventually the thorn in my flesh, the disordered thinking, my mental health, was just another part of me that I needed to give over to God to handle. I had nothing to do with this except my willingness to accept the way God was using my weakness to keep me humble and to show me how great He was, not how great I was. There were still times I struggled with wanting to die or cutting, etc., but it got better the more I pressed into God and sought His will, the less I cared about what the world thought of me or wanted from me. As I improved, my daughter Lily was struggling like I did at her age. She had many ups and downs, many hospitalizations, and many amazing recoveries. And by the time she was a junior in high school, she was doing incredible. She had been called by the Lord to be a worship leader several times. She recognized it, and she started. She stopped caring what other people thought of her. She wasn't singing on stage before this. She was only willing to play bass. And so she started singing out, leading songs, and God was using her in really big ways to draw young people to Him. She graduated with honors and a cosmetology license through the dual vocational program at Valpo, and went to Grace College to study child psychology because she knew how hard it had been for her whole life to access care in Valpo. Despite having a lot of resources, there are still shockingly few child psychiatrists. And so she wanted to bridge that gap. But then COVID came, put her college plans on hold, but she was super resilient, came home, started working at JCPenney as a cosmetologist until college would come back around. She had her own apartment, she was working, and was beginning her adult life. But like the enemy that convinced me that I didn't need my medication when I felt better, he told Lily the same. And he used other people in her life to confirm it. Now, people are not our enemies. I say this a lot, so if you've heard me say it, just listen again. The devil is our enemy, and he can use people to enact his evil schemes. This is exactly what happened in my daughter's life. She was in a feedback loop of being told she didn't need medicine, and eventually didn't need to play or sing with the worship band anymore. That she was the problem, not her disease or the devil in her ear. There are a few outcomes when we reject the remedy for our disease or disorder. Just like with a serious physical condition, if we ignore it and refuse treatment, it will stay stagnant at best, but the likelihood is that it will get worse. When we are in a serious mental spiral, eventually the devil convinces some of us that the only way to fix it is to leave this life permanently. I was fortunate enough to reject this and return to therapy and medication, and now also case management. My daughter, unfortunately, ended up on the other path, completing suicide on April 27th, 2024, at 21 years old. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We've been saying that almost every week. And I believe that the Lord is showing me His goodness and mercy every single day. I also believe that Lily is worshiping in the house of the Lord until the day the rest of our family band is reunited and we can worship together forever. Mental health disorders can be terminal if we do not acknowledge God as our healer, Jesus as our Lord of our life, and accept the cure that He gives us. For some, it's meditation, prayer, and worship. For some, it's therapy or case management. For others, it's medication. And for some people, like me, it's all of the above. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Missy. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for helping us to know that if we're going through anything connected to any of that, that we're not alone. And there are some resources out in the lobby, too, just so you know, out on the table, like a flyer about 988 and those kinds of things. And if you want to take one of those with you, if you know someone or you yourself need that reminder, that's a beautiful thing to have help at your fingertips when you need it. I'm just going to point to a couple of the scriptures in here. With Thanksgiving being this week, I wanted to point to these last two psalms that you see there in your notes. Psalm 103 starts out saying, "Praise the Lord, my soul." And he's talking to himself, Remember this from last week? Some of the psalms, many of the psalms, are like talking to themselves, saying, look, there's a part of me that's down, and I need to, there's another part of me, though, that recognizes the truth. You know, part of me has believed a lie that the devil's told me, but there's this other part of me that believes the truth. And so I'm gonna talk to myself, tell myself the truth. That's why scripture is so important. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he starts just listing them out. I just put the first few in here. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. If you read the psalm, he goes on to make a long list. And that's something that maybe, if mental health is a struggle that you have. I was just hearing again this past week from a friend on Facebook who just went through an open heart surgery right around my age. And he'd been reminded that fear and anxiety cannot coexist with gratitude in the human mind. Like, they've done studies. It's just impossible. If you're focused on gratitude, then fear and anxiety just don't have room. You can't think both at the same time. And so maybe this week, as we move toward Thanksgiving, maybe this practice of gratitude is something that you need to dig into. Say, okay, I'm gonna tell the part of me that's worried. I'm gonna tell the part of me that's spiraling. I'm gonna tell the part of me that's trying to isolate from other people. You know what? No, God is good. Let me recount some of the benefits. Let me go through some of the things I have to be thankful for. And I would encourage you just to make a list. Put it on paper, you know. Start listing out all the ways God has blessed you, the people he's placed in your life that you know you can turn to, all the things that he has done, all the ways that he is bringing healing to you. It's a good thing. Make a list. Make it long. Review it often. And then she mentioned Psalm 23. We've read it every Sunday this month. And I want us again, just like we did last week, to read it out loud together. In part because I want the truth of Scripture to sink into our hearts. Not just to stay in our heads, but to sink into our hearts, to shape our imaginations. I want you to know God as a shepherd who provides for you everything that you need, who leads you through the good times and the bad times of life, that when the valley is dark, that he's with you. I want us to know this kind of deep down, okay? So could we read this together? I think we'll have it on the screen or it's there in your notes. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray for us before we celebrate communion together. God, thank you for the ways you have been faithful down through the ages. I mean, we've got this ancient poem, like 2,000 or 3,000 years old, where we're reading the psalmist David talk about your faithfulness and how you guided him through life, through the good and the bad. We hear Missy sharing how you were with her through all of the ups and downs that she has experienced and how you have been faithful. God, today, as we go through our ups and downs, some of us right now, we're in the middle of the up. Things are good, and we are just grateful. And we're excited about this week when we get to gather with family and we get to express our gratitude to you for all the ways you have been faithful and good. God, you know, for some of us, it feels like we're sliding the other direction. It feels like the dark clouds are never going to part. And we're feeling the grief, or we're feeling the anxiety, or we're feeling the depression. God, we're feeling it all. We're in a dark valley, God, and we need to know that you are with us. Please make your presence known to us. God, speak in the ways that you know each of us need to hear. And I know, God, you work in different ways in each of our lives. Some you send a song, some it's something in nature. Some, God, it's a friend who reaches out at a time when we desperately needed someone to reach out to us. God, would you help all of us to watch out for each other? Would you help us to carry each other's burdens? Would you help us to love each other as you have loved us? Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are willing to come alongside us, bear our burdens with us, and even take the full weight of our sin when you carried it to the cross and gave your life for us. We remember and celebrate that this morning with the sacrament of Holy Communion. God, we offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body, in his blood. Jesus, as you approached that moment when you would give your life for us all, as you gathered with your disciples to celebrate the Passover, this testament of God's faithfulness down through the ages, you pointed them toward God's faithfulness in the present and how God was at work in you. Jesus, you took bread and you broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." This, you said, seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. Today, if we want to find forgiveness, healing, a fresh start, life, and all of its fullness, Jesus, we come to you. We put our trust in you and what you accomplished by your death and resurrection. You broke the power of sin and death and the devil to set us free. So God, please help us not to live in chains any longer. Help us to live in the freedom that you provide, to be willing to take your healing in all the different avenues that you provide it, God. Not to reject your offers of help. Not to reject your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for loving ordinary, messed up people like us and inviting us to turn to you to find hope and help and new life. Thank you, God, that when we turn to you, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we wandering children turn toward home, you run to us and embrace us. You adopt us as your sons and daughters. It's a beautiful thing to be loved by you, God. I pray that every single one of us in this room would know that embrace, would know that love, would know the life that you created us to live and have redeemed us for. Today, in response to your outpouring of love, that we offer you ourselves, we lift our hearts to you full of gratitude, God, for all of your blessings, all of your goodness, for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. As we do this, God, we acknowledge our need of your grace and mercy, that we've not always loved you with our heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. The most important commands, and we've broken them both. And God, you know there's probably other things. Maybe there's something specific you're dealing with us about this morning, something that we need to admit to you. You're right, God. It's destroying me. It's tearing me up. It's wrecking my life and the people around me. God, help us to recognize sin as sin and to repent of it so that you can forgive us and set us free. So that today we can experience your grace and receive it, be changed by it. So that today we can be filled with your Holy Spirit and changed from the inside out to live in this world as the body of Christ, as your sons and daughters. Thank you, God. We are so grateful. For all these things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got some little regular, it's like pita bread cut up into pieces. We've got some round gluten-free wafers. Or we've got these little cups that you can take back and peel it back and get to the bread and get to the juice. Or we've got those in a basket. Some of you might have grabbed them on the way in. We do all these different things so that all of us can be included because we want everyone to know they're welcome. Maybe you've been following Jesus forever. Maybe today is the first time, and you're saying, okay, I need this. I need this grace. Whether it's today as you're just taking your first steps as a follower of Jesus, or whether you've been following him for ages, you are welcome at his table to experience his grace, to receive it in a tangible, touchable way. So let's give him thanks. Let's sing. Let's celebrate.
no point of reference. You spoke to the dark and flesh out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a single fire of grace. Creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the as you speak. 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart in a million different ways. every precious one a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measures could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Thank you, God. Thank you for all the different ways you have shown us your love, all the different ways you've been at work in our lives. All the different things we have to thank you for. We are so grateful because you have been so, so good. Again, I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ. So that this week in particular, as you send us out, we can be a people filled with gratitude. We can be a people who give you the credit and give you thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.